The following audio recording is intended for business people. It contains mature concepts and adult themes and language. It is not recommended for children.
Hi there. Are you already successful in business? Past the startup and into phase two? Already have regular clients and not worried about revenues? Maybe other things worry you. Like what's the medium to long-term future? Which is the shortest way forward that translates to money? Or do you wish you had help with business strategy, innovation, or future-proofing? If you're interested in spending some time with a business person who has executed and implemented almost all of the things you're about to hear, resulting in annual company revenue of $7.2 million a year, then you can relax your mind. Your ears are on the right Business Bits podcast. Get comfortable and please create an environment for success for yourself and turn off any distractions. Welcome to the Business Bits podcast by Nikki Christensen.
It's Nikki Christensen, and today we're going to talk about a subject that is quite emotive, and it is biosecurity. There's been much said about the March 1 changes to the import conditions on imported products, and now even magazines like Floriculture International out of the Netherlands are reporting about Australia's biosecurity challenges. Flowers Australia has put out an unusual position statement on imported cut flowers and foliage recently, where they talk about their understanding that cut flowers and foliages are an integral part of the Australian industry, but they go on to say that the increase of the imported products sold has negatively impacted some within the production industry and has substantially changed some sectors of the production industry. Yeah, that's a Captain Obvious, isn't it? I mean, imported products are available widely, but there's a reason why they're available widely, and that's because they're actually more reliable in a lot of cases than what some local growers can produce. Now, before you go screaming off into the hills, let's talk about something frankly. Biosecurity is about keeping Australia safe from pests and diseases that we don't have. It is not a moratorium or a referendum of who is more Aussie or Ocker or Bogan. I'm a very proud Australian. I'm an immigrant. I'm an Australian citizen, but I came to these shores when I was four. And if I have the opportunity to support Australian grown or produced, I will always take that opportunity as long as what I'm choosing compares with what my options are. Now, when you look at it from a business sense, a brand fan is someone who will pass up on a better product at a cheaper price still to stay loyal to you. That's a loyal brand fan. A regular repeat client, it's not about that, it's just about ease of use. So when you look at the whole emotive topic of imported products versus local, buying Australian or buying import, what people are talking about and the responses that they give really are about being happily Australian, would love to buy Australian where we can, but we still want the quality and the head size, I'm talking about roses, that we're accustomed to now through imports. It's sort of like the whole Jetstar Qantas scenario. It's the Qantas scenario. When you ask people about Qantas, they get all emotive and go, yeah, it's the flying kangaroo. 20% of Australians fly Qantas, 80% don't. Why? That's because of price. But I'm saying how they feel about it emotively doesn't then translate to what they do about it with their wallet. Now, I understand that Flowers Australia are trying to get this point across, and they're trying to highlight that imported products have taken market share from local products. Yes, they have, but imported products are more consistent, more reliably produced, and that is just a fact of life. If you look at a great Australian rose grower like Grandiflora Roses in Victoria, they produce one of the best rose catalogues available in the entire country, yet they are limited in their production size because of the scale. They can't produce what is required in Australia. Now, they're not on the same par with head sizes on a lot of their range. Some of their range are, but when you look at it just on the face value, Grandiflora are not being hampered by imported Colombian roses because Grandiflora have specialised into niche varieties that they are gaining strength in their production. So what they've done is they've said, you know what, we need to be able to compete on the global stage, at least domestically, and come up with something that is not readily available everywhere else in the world cheaper. Because let's face it, Uber came in and took over the taxi industry because they provided something that the market wanted. Imported products provide something that the market wanted. Now, it used to start on price, but imported products are not actually that much cheaper than local products. It is about consistency and reliability, because at the end of the day, consumers are wanting a consistent, reliable product that lasts in store. Now, of course, a local product will outlast an imported product face on face, apples to apples, rose to rose, because it hasn't traveled 2 to 3 days, maybe 4 days to get here. But again, it has travelled internally in the country up to 2 to 3 days getting to the point of sale. So the whole story of that imported roses are of a lesser quality than Australian, and I'm saying roses but imported products, it's sort of true but it's sort of not. Of course, an Australian product will be better off if it is not treated with chemicals like a big deal of the imported products are, to make sure that we don't bring in pest and disease into the country. But they are still of a certain size and quite good. They will still last, but an Australian product should outlast an imported product. That's a no-brainer. Again, Captain Obvious. So this whole emotive process and this whole emotive subject of imported products are ruining the Australian growers. Other things to consider in this debate and this conversation, a lot of Australian flower growers' families, the new generations, they don't want to be on farm. They're not interested in growing. And the reason is they don't want to work as hard as their parents did, or they can probably make more money by selling the farm. If you look at where I am in Brisbane, Queensland, we're a big producer of flowers. All the producers, market gardens, etc., have sold to real estate value as urban sprawl continues. That's a major factor. Climate change challenges is also another problem that Australia has. Other countries around the world have an higher elevation with a lower ambient temperature every day, more consistent, and also the light levels, which will of course all go into growing a bigger headed product. Now, if we can't compete on it just based simply on the climate itself, forget all the other arguments, because there's sundry arguments. They're not core. A lot of the time we can't compete because we can't have the climate that other places in the world have. And South America have great elevations, as too does places like Dalat in Vietnam, and they grow fantastic product. Cameroon Highlands in Malaysia. You can't argue about that. That's just fact. When people talk about an unfair advantage because they have access to lower labour, yes, those farms can access lower labour, so it's a cheaper pick cost. But remember, they still have to fly at $5.20 US a kilo halfway around the world to get to Australia. So whatever saving you're having in labour cost, you're actually increasing through the cost of travel and the import process. It's about $2,000 to clear a shipment when you're bringing it into the country, plus you've got all the freight to pay on top. So I sort of see that as it balances out low labour versus cost of import, travel and freight. That balances that part of the equation out. The one that I will agree on, though, is the farm practices. There's some that say, oh, we can't guarantee what it's been sprayed with or what it's been treated with. Correct. Australia is much more rigid in what chemicals we can use on our farms, etc. But remember, we're still using methyl bromide as a treatment for devitalisation on arrival, when there are numerous countries around the world that have banned the use of methyl bromide. So on one hand, we want to be a good global citizen. On the other hand, we're behind the eight ball with what we're allowing even our government agencies to use, etc. So it's really big topic. It's very emotive. It's a far-ranging one. But when you put all the pieces on the table and when you really look at it, at the end of the day, this change to import conditions is nothing more than protectionism. For those of you who don't really understand what's going on in the import conditions change since March 1, I'll give you a quick overview how I understand it. March 1, there was a change made to the import conditions. In the past, companies who had demonstrated the ability to ship clean goods to Australia, that is, non-insect infested products, and they'd done that 10 times in a row, they could gain what was called a clean pathway status or green path, and they were allowed to send products non-fumigated onto the Australian shores. Now, what happened as part of the change is that changed so that everything coming in had to be fumigated, obviously devitalised as well, so it couldn't then be struck and cuttings from it. The main problem with this is they say that 85% of inspections have failed since the change in policy. Now, what this means is, in the past, what was happening, if a pest was found, the importer was able to nominate a voluntary fumigation on arrival, which means if they find a pest, you would say, okay, bummer, go and fumigate it. They would then ship it off to fumigation. It would be treated with a fumigation compound at a set temperature for a certain period of time, excuse me, and then it would be released. Now you can't nominate voluntary fumigation. It has to go to an entomologist who has to identify the pest. And then once the pest is identified, only then will the release be given back for the shipment to be fumigated. The problem with that is Australia is very, very backwards when it comes to staffing. Australian quarantine, it's not called quarantine anymore, it's Border Force Biosecurity, I don't even know what the right title is. They only work till 3 o'clock on a weekday and they don't work Sundays. So Australia is not open for business 24/7. Our ports cannot process imported goods as is needed. It actually has to wait. So what happens is if you get a shipment in that has insects in it, then it has to be waited. It has to wait to be identified by an entomologist and then it can be released to fumigation. So the problem is there's no entomologists that work on staff at the airports. They work out at other research stations, so that insect has to be shipped off, then analyse them back. So if you get an import shipment arrive on a Friday, let's say, the entomologist won't work again until Monday if it comes in Friday lunch or after, which means by the time it's identified and turned around, it will probably be Tuesday, which means fumigation Wednesday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's another 4 days in the import process where those flowers are being negatively affected because of undue holdup and protectionism. That's the way I see it. It's just government agency protectionism. So it's a real shame that the import conditions have changed to be this, because they do nothing more than slow down the process, negatively impact the quality of the flower, all in the effort of what? Some would say that it is in a true effort to preserve Australia's biosecurity, and everyone would be for that, because nobody would want a pest coming into the country at all, not like the canker and things that we see in fruit and vegetables. But at the end of the day, here's the clinker. There are spiders found on just about every commercial airliner in the world. A lot of the insects found in those 85% seizure rates are spiders. Now, who's to say that spider actually got onto that stuff on the farm it came from, or did they crawl into the box on the belly of the airplane that flew in? That's never going to change. They don't fumigate the plane when the door opens. Have you ever seen product being offloaded at an air terminal when the plane lands? The plane lands, the door opens, whatever insect was in that cargo hold, she's gone. She's into the atmosphere. So all of this is really just tokenism at its worst, protectionism at its worst. And it's just trying to pander to the public sympathisers and trying to win that public relations war that we're doing something. I mean, we have to do something. There has to be requirements of entry. But if we keep going down this path of archaic biosecurity, then we are lagging so far behind the world, and Australia is just so uninteresting for people to do business in. And remember, that does not then equate to more growers growing more products, because there's all those challenges that I mentioned before. You've got people that don't want to grow because the new generations want to sell the farm. You've got climate change, climate challenges that they can't grow because the growing conditions are not right, so therefore they have to pay to cool or pay to heat, which means cost of production's too high. Then some people will try and talk you into saying, well, it's because their labor's so cheap that I can't compete. Bullshit, because you level that out with the cost of the freight to get stuff here. So of all the points I've raised before, this is an issue that just keeps going round in circles. It's got people really mad and screaming one way or the other, but it's such a waste of time. At the end of the day, when I talk to florists, I say, listen, do you care if this is an imported product or not? And they say, look, ideally I would like to buy a product that's Australian grown because we're all proud Australians, but at the end of the day, it's got to be same quality or better, and it's got to meet my needs because I need to sell it in store to my customer that walks in. Because at the end of the day, we're trying to sell flowers to the bloke who wants to give it to his missus, and that's it. They're my thoughts on the biosecurity and import change conditions. It's an emotive subject, emotive topic. Make sure you think about it on all those areas, because if you just read the press releases, especially like this very poor press release that came out of Flowers Australia, you really aren't going to get the full picture. I'm Nikki Christensen. To your success.
That was another session with Nikki Christensen and the Business Bits podcast. In case you were wondering, it's called Business Bits by Nikki Christensen because it's business served up in bits. Take away what you want and leave behind the bits you don't. The key is implement what you've learned straight away. If you want more, go to NikkiChristensen.com. It's also where you can get your limited edition Nikki Christensen wristband. So until next time, remember what Nikki always says, version one is better than version none.